Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I learned one thing since I've been here. You gotta fight for your right to party!
You gotta fight for your right to party!
Get pops, quit your smoking, man, he says, no way! That hypocrite smokes two packs a day.
You gotta fight for your rights,
man. Living at home is such a drag.
Struggle. Get it.
Now your mom threw away
your best porno mag. You're busted. So funny.
So that's the song.
If you're ready to feel old, by the way, that song is 34 years old.
Woo!
34 years old. Lead guitar in that song is Kerry King from Slayer.
No, I don't feel old.
Shut up. Interesting story here from Channel 9. Patrick Mahomes has surpassed Tom Brady on the official list of top-selling players in the NFL. The list reports sales of all officially licensed NFL player-identified merchandise. So if you sell a Chiefs scarf, it doesn't count. You sell a jersey with Mahomes' name on it, that counts. Here is the list now. Tom Brady for years has been number one. Number one now is Patrick Mahomes Jr.
Wow.
Number two is Tom Brady. Number three is Ezekiel Elliott from Dallas, Baker Mayfield from Cleveland, Odell Beckham Jr., also of Cleveland, Khalil Mack from Chicago, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Saquon Barkley, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Saquon Barkley, sorry. From the Giants, Juju Smith from Pittsburgh, Drew Brees from New Orleans. Okay.
Okay, so listen to this. I told you my parents were in Florida last week. They actually flew home today.
Has Big Juicy landed yet? Because I want to talk to her.
They're traveling today, so I'm not sure. But she was saying to me that they found a Chiefs bar in the town they were in. And I'm like, what? And she goes, oh, yeah, there's like this huge Chiefs bar, and everyone in there's a Chiefs fan, and they made friends with all these people. Some of them live down there and used to be in Kansas City. So Kraske today, I get his newsletter, was writing about this, that there's a team fan site that lists all of the different bars around the country that have become like Chiefs Central in any city that you're in. So if you're not going to be in Miami and you happen to be out of town, you can always find a Chiefs bar. And Kraske writes, what surprised me was not that the list exists, but just how extensive it is. Winter Garden, Florida? Check out Miller's Ale House. Hawaii? Try Blue Tropics or Polymomi Street. And he said, we talked to bar owners in Chicago, San Diego. Every big city and some small ones have what people consider to be a Chiefs bar.
Well, you know, there are bars for other teams here in Kansas City. Like years ago when, and I don't know if they still are.
There are a couple of Chicago bars. Windy City, of course.
I presume. Years ago, when Tom Beckett was on this station, he was a big Cleveland Browns fan.
Okay.
The Fox and the Hound on Metcalf used to be a Cleveland, I don't know if it still is or not, used to be a Cleveland Browns bar. And you can go to there are bars for every team in this city. Now, granted,
I think the Chiefs bars travel well and more often than the other teams do.
I think you are out of your mind.
And I don't know why.
Here are the teams where I bet the other than the Chiefs, of course, the teams that have the most bars in Kansas City, here they are. Dallas Cowboys. I bet there are a ton of Dallas Cowboys bars here in town.
You have lost your mind.
No, I haven't.
Why?
And the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't know.
I guarantee you. Here, I'll just go to Google real quick. See, this is what I got criticized for was no show
prep. Listen to this.
Prep.
In Chicago, Danny Beck, owner of Toon's Bar and Grill, said the tavern once was a Bears home, and Chiefs fans were forced to gather around a little TV in the back. That started to change around 20 years ago. Now the exclusive focus is all Chiefs. And there's another bar owner in San Diego who says, it's every Chiefs game here all the time. He called the team's fans rabid.
Hmm. If you want me to click on this, I will. But the top headline, I put in Dallas Cowboys bars in Kansas City. I can read to you from Yelp if you want the top 10 best Dallas Cowboys bars in Kansas City, which says there's more than 10.
Hmm.
Here, let me just put in Pittsburgh Steelers. I guarantee you there's more than 10. They cater to this kind of stuff. Hang on. This is simple. See, Texter, this is called show prep. Here are your Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Dallas Cowboys was America's team. Is that why?
Maybe. Here are your Pittsburgh Steelers bars in Kansas City. Just the top handful. The Green Lady Lounge, Callahan's on 87th Street, McFadden's, Elbow Bend, Tanner's Bar and Grill in Shawnee.
McFadden's and Tanner's are sports bars. No, that doesn't mean they're a specific team bar.
They cater to a certain team because, for example, McFadden's on 83rd and McFadden's on 87th, I know for a fact, are Nebraska Cornhuskers bars. So every Saturday afternoon, if Nebraska's playing, it is packed with Nebraska football fans. That's it. Those are the only people that show up. I love this website, though. I typed in Pittsburgh Steelers bars in Kansas City. One of the lists, Arrowhead Stadium.
Wow.
So it's obviously very trustworthy.
Yeah, right?
Well, and I mean, there's a difference between being a sports bar and saying you cater to a specific team and being a diehard like fan, the bar being a diehard fan of that team with the memorabilia being scattered everywhere and whatnot. Because I don't think Tanner's Bar and Grill specifically has that memorabilia in their bar.
Right. That is correct. I mean, they have stuff from every team
across
the country. But on Sundays, there might be a specific Tanner's that, you know, well, and they've got TVs all over the bar.
Right.
But most of them would probably be on the Pittsburgh Steelers game when they're on.
You can't be surprised, though, that Mahomes is the all-time selling jersey memorabilia player right now.
Yes, I'm actually surprised
I'm not surprised by that at all.
And here's why. Kansas City, by NFL standards, is a small market. Just like the Royals are a small market in the MLB. I mean, you've got a guy. Now, I love the guy. I mean, he has made me a Chiefs fan again. And because there was a time when I was a little bit sour on the Chiefs. But I love this kid, and I want to see him win. And I love Andy Reid, too. But there was a time where I was down on the Chiefs when they were going through all those troubles, and I'm not talking about wins and losses. I couldn't give a crap about wins and losses. I care
about...
You
mean off-the-field stuff.
Yes, off-the-field stuff. And what the team was willing to forgive. And that kind of stuff was driving me nuts. But Patrick Mahomes has made me a Chiefs fan again. And I want this team to win. But if you're telling me that there isn't a Washington Redskins bar, a Miami Dolphins bar, a Tennessee Titans bar, a Houston Texans bar, a LA Chargers bar, there are bars for every team in this city, I guarantee it.
All right.
And every Sunday. Now, listen, they might not have, like, you know, Philip Rivers jerseys hanging on the wall. Sure. I'm not saying that. But all I'm saying is Sunday at 3 o'clock, when the Chargers play, every TV is on Chargers.
So if you are going to Miami, we want to hear from you.
I mean, if your mom found a Chiefs bar in Florida.
Yes, she did.
Why wouldn't you find a Miami Dolphins bar in Kansas City?
I don't know.
Because everybody here is supposed to be cheering for the Chiefs.
If you are going to Miami, we want to hear from you. We will go over the average ticket price, the flight cost, which is, woo! Look that up last night.
That's a paycheck and a half.
That is a lot of money. But if you're going, we want to hear from you. 576-7798.
And what did you pay?
And if you missed our interview with Ryan Lilja, we should go back over that because he said some things, not about the game of football, but about the experience of the Super Bowl that I just think are fascinating.
Can you isolate that interview? I know we're going to replay it in this, at the end of the 6 o'clock hour, but I think people might want to hear that in the 5 o'clock hour,
too. What is it like? And also, how many tickets do the players get? Like, that stuff just, I find that stuff fascinating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You betcha. Nothing like last-minute production.
I love it.
No, I'm just messing with you. I'm not saying in the next segment.
It's already isolated because we're playing it in the 6 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Good. Well, we'll do the Ryan Lilja interview again at, let's say, 5:35. Is that okay with you?
That works.
All right. 576-7798.
This is how we do it.
Earlier today, and you can hear it again at the tail end of the bonus hour at 6, which is to say, I know, but are we redoing the 2 o'clock hour at 6?
No, we're doing redoing the 3.
All right, never mind. Oh, this is a lot of inside baseball. Anyway, we're going to replay the interview we did with Ryan Lilja.
So nice.
Former Chiefs player, also won a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts. I think it was 13, 14 years ago. I can't remember. Time gets away after a while. But Ryan Lilja, who still lives here in town, went to Shawnee Mission West, K-State, wrapped up his career with the Kansas City Chiefs, is going to join us at 5:35. We interviewed him at 2:50 or whatever it was. Interesting insight on what it's like being a player going to the Super Bowl without breaking down yesterday's game. We're not going to break down the game and, you know, Patrick Mahomes at 295 passing yards. We're not getting into that. What's it like the day after you wake up and you realize, oh, my God, I'm going to the Super Bowl? How many tickets do you get for your family and friends when you go to the Super Bowl?
And that's not the interesting part. The interesting part is, whatever that number is, you have to leave somebody out. Let's say, Scott, you're going to Rockfest and you get 4 tickets. Well, you've got 10 friends who want to go.
Mm-hmm.
How do you decide?
Ask for more.
Awkward.
Lisa in Lenexa. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, guys. Hi. How there. Are you?
Well, we're doing really well. Thank you.
Good. Love our show. Well, you were asking about who's going to Miami. Well, we are going, my husband and I. However, I booked a cruise. My husband is not very happy with me. I booked a cruise back in November, so we're flying into Miami on Friday.
Ooh.
And so we will be on a cruise ship during the Super Bowl. So, yeah, he's not real happy, but hey, you know, at least we'll be able to see it. We'll be all in our Chiefs attire, go Chiefs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so anyway.
And
yeah,
honestly, Lisa.
Yeah,
it's a lot cheaper to watch that game on a cruise ship than it is to go to the game.
Because it's all-inclusive.
Yes.
Yeah. We got the drink package, so yeah, we will be very hungover on Monday on a cruise ship.
I am jealous.
Hey, go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs.
I was just going to say, Lisa, I mean, being on a cruise ship, I mean, I don't drink anymore, but if I did, my God, that sounds like an absolute party.
That's what I think he's warming up to it, going, hey, think about it. At least it's going to be 85. We're in bathing suits and drinking as opposed to the tundra we call Kansas City.
And you think you're going to be the only Chiefs fans on board? I mean, give me a break.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway.
Have a good time. That sounds like fun.
A great time. Listen to this from CNN. This just posted an hour ago. And we mentioned this at 2 o'clock, but there's new information and new pricing information coming out every hour. CNN writes, this could be the most expensive Super Bowl ever with ticket prices soaring. The Super Bowl matchup is set. The online ticket platform SeatGeek says the average resale price is currently $6,200, although the average price for tickets sold in the last 24 hours was even higher at $6,700.
No.
The demand for this year's game is at an all-time high, with it trending to be the most expensive Super Bowl ever.
I wonder what it means. I was thinking about this last night because, you know, Nashville, Kansas City, roughly the same size town. So the NFL probably didn't have a real dog in that fight as far as ratings are concerned as to who got in. I mean, obviously, if it was like New York or D.C., well, those are all in the NFC, so that doesn't even count. Miami or, you know, somebody in the AFC, Houston. I imagine that the NFL is not thrilled, per se, necessarily.
Oh,
that Kansas
I disagree.
City's in. That was my first thought. And then the more I thought about it,
we watch more and we watch longer than anyone else.
I understand, but we also have fewer people. But this Patrick Mahomes character, who I just adore, has captured America. I mean, I struggle to find anybody who can say anything negative about him. Now, I also live in Kansas City, so it might be hard. But I started to think last night, this might not hurt ratings at all. The fact that they got a small market team into the Super Bowl against a super huge market team in San Francisco. This is your David versus Goliath kind of Super Bowl as far as market size is concerned. And how many people across the country are going to be cheering for the Chiefs just because it's been 50 years? Because Patrick Mahomes is this affable, likable character.
I don't think anyone's going to be cheering for the other team.
Dana, I assure you there will be other people cheering
for
the
other team. Not even that quarterback's mom. Okay. I mean.
Oh, my.
Do you know how much an 18-person suite will set you back? If you want a suite.
I saw the number.
18 people. Now, I assume you get beer with that and like.
You better get a lot more than beer.
Some stale chips.
Yep.
And like maybe some little meatballs.
Care to guess, boys and girls?
For 18 people.
One suite?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Couple million?
No.
No.
Oh, really?
No, not that high. It's not even a million.
Okay. 100,000.
Much higher.
$439,000.
Oh, my gosh. I was way off.
Dollars.
Wow.
$439,000, half $1 million.
But if they're splitting
for
it
a
up.
Suite.
Well, yeah, divided by 18, stand by. I'm guessing if you have that kind of jack, you're not going to be the person going around to everyone saying,
it's
and I need you.
$23,000 a person.
Can you give me
pay
your cut?
Me, it's $24,000.
Wow,
per person.
Matt Parks over there. Yeah,
which isn't terrible if some of the seats are selling right now for $70,000, and those are going to be, you know, really, really good seats. But wow.
Ryan Lilja joins us next, former Kansas City Chief, won a Super Bowl with the Indianapolis Colts. You'll hear our interview from earlier today with Ryan Lilja in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Foremost champions, West Division, playoffs bound and father of the rivers. Tom is old now, older than the trees, bigger than the mountains, taller than Drew Brees. Pat Mahomes,
okay, I don't even, okay.
Take me home.
Oh, okay. This ain't John Denver.
To the place we belong.
Did I get you?
No. All right, welcome back. It's 2:48. Joining us on the KMZ hotline, friend of mine and former Kansas City Chief, Super Bowl champion with the Indianapolis Colts, Ryan Lilja. What is up, my friend?
Hey, buddy. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, man, and the best to your family. You grew up in Kansas City. You played for Kansas City. How big was the party at your house last night?
Probably not as big as you might think, man. We, you know, we got four little kids under eight, and so we had some family over, couple of friends, but yeah, it's kind of tough to focus on a football game when the kids aren't napping. Yeah, they're everywhere. It was fun, man. I got to watch the end of the game with all my kiddos and my best friend and my mom and my sister, my wife and my mother-in-law. And we ate a bunch of food, and it was historic. Pretty cool.
You know, you obviously played with Indianapolis when they won, I believe it was Super Bowl 41, if memory serves me right. Can't believe it's been that long ago. What is going through the players' minds right now, the day after they won the championship and are getting ready 2 weeks from yesterday to go to Miami?
You know, fortunately or unfortunately, it's all logistics that they're talking about right now, right? It's you know you're going to get down there. You know you're going to have a bed and a bus to take you to practice and all that. But going over the schedule and getting all the people that you care about, you know, it's the biggest game in this town in 50 years, and it's the biggest game in all those guys' lives. So they want the, you know, you got 16 tickets, at least when I went to a couple of Super Bowls. And so you gotta narrow it down to the 16 people that you want there.
Oh, Ryan, wait, say that again. You get 16
tickets.
I thought you said 16. You get 16 tickets per player?
One six was okay. What we got. Yeah, per player.
Who was number 17 on your list?
You were, Scott.
I don't remember, but you know, it changes. It's kind of uncomfortable because, you know, you have parties and you have post game stuff, and you might only get 10 passes for your table at a post game deal. So you bring 16 people down. I remember my poor uncle from Seattle, aunt and uncle, and my girlfriend's folks at the time. They didn't get to go, but you got to make those tough decisions. And in the meantime, you're trying to win. You know, it's a lot more fun to win the game than lose the game. And so you're focused on the game, which is tough to do with all the crap going on. You're traveling, the media, you're in a new place. It's a challenge, man.
So what's it like? I mean, to be a player going there for the first time, just what do you remember thinking when you get down there? It has to be a mind-blowing, cool time.
Yeah. Well, I'll speak for myself. I was thinking, hey, man, it ain't over. Don't screw it up, right? I was on a team with a bunch of guys that are going to be in the Hall of Fame, and I didn't want to be the weak link, and I was nervous. I mean, I was terrified. So that was my deal, was just try to have a laser focus on doing your job, and then don't get caught up and lost in all the it's a party, you know? I mean, it's a party for everybody else down there except for the guys on the field. So you can't really get that. You can't get sucked into that. So it didn't really soak in at how cool being there and winning was until probably a little while afterwards. But you're still caught up in it. It's been a long season for those guys, and you're still kind of caught up in that. You're getting treatment. Your body's probably never felt worse in your career. So you're just duct taping yourself, you know, together to try to do one last game and play as well as you can.
You got to get duct tape before you even get out of bed.
Oh, brother. What do you think I'm doing right now? I just got on my inversion table. I got my foam roller. I'm about to get on my stationary bike. And that's the reality when you play in that game for a long time. So, but yeah, those guys, man, listen, today was all about logistics. Okay. We're packing up. We're going to be, and there's 2 weeks, right? So you never have 2 weeks in between games. So mm-hmm. you got to fight boredom. You're out of your routine. A lot of your coaches having 2 weeks, they think, well, you know, they try to reinvent the wheel and change things and then change it back. And it's a little hectic, man. It's unlike any other game. Football players are all about routine and habit, and this game is nothing about routine and habit, so it throws you off.
Do you practice between the championship game and the Super Bowl, or do you just go over film and stuff and walkthroughs?
Yeah. I mean, you'll practice, and those guys will probably go down Sunday or Monday next week. You'll check in. You'll have media day, maybe Tuesday, which is a total zoo and just has only gotten more insane, I think, since I was there. But, you know, and the whole time you're just thinking, I got a job to do.
Well, right? And Ryan,
it has nothing to do with media day or, you know, getting my brother-in-law into a party. Right?
I've always thought, Ryan, with respect to media day, I feel a little bit bad for you guys, because how many times can you answer, are you excited to be here? You know, what are your goals? Well, winning, duh.
What's your superstition?
I mean, how many times can you answer that stuff? And you've got to do it with a smile on your face again and again and again.
Yeah, you got to be a good sport. But you know, you also got to understand that that's what moves the needle. And that's why guys are making the salaries that they're making, is because there's a lot of eyeballs on this game and on the sport and on the players. And so you kind of got to play the part, but it certainly gets tiring after a while. And that's why you see a lot of canned responses and boring answers to questions, because, you know, guys are fed up. You're not a mouthpiece. You're not a media personality. You're a football player, but you kind of got to play both.
Mm. We're talking with Ryan Liljia, former Kansas City Chief, also won a Super Bowl with the Indianapolis Colts. I don't mean to age you here, but 13 years ago, I'm not rubbing it in. I'm older than you are, friend.
Hey, it feels longer than that.
What do you do with your Super Bowl ring? Do you ever wear it? Where does it sit?
You know what? We were just talking about this the other day, because my kids are now kind of they're kind of into it, right? They dusted off one of my old helmets, and they, you know, my oldest brought it to school for show and tell, and so now it's all about the it's all about the Chiefs in this town, and so we kind of realized that my kids don't remember ever seeing it, and so it's tucked away in a locked drawer that I don't really take it out very much because I don't trust myself. It's a liability, man. That thing is like a hubcap on your hand.
Yeah.
And, unless you're looking for attention, it's really not practical to put on. But I'll probably dust it out, I'll probably dust it out. I'm thinking about taking my wife and going down there with some friends. And,
aww,
you know, that was kind of the scene of so we lost one to the Saints 10 years ago down there. And both of them were in Miami. So I might get down there and see some old friends and go check out the game. So I'll probably bring it, but I'm a little nervous about dusting it off. Last time I looked at it, it had some barbecue sauce in it. And I was thinking, I got to go take this to the civil and get it cleaned up.
Well,
hey, Ryan, real quick. What is it like? Do your kids know? Do you remember Tiger Woods when he won the Masters? He said something to his kids like, I know it's hard for you to believe, but I was kind of a big deal years ago, and yeah, I was kind of good at what I did.
But now you're just dad.
Right. What's it like for them, just your dad? I mean, do you explain to them this was a really big deal?
Yeah. I mean, not regularly, but when they bring it up, and their attention span is pretty short, so they their jaw will hit the floor, and they'll say something like, so you were kind of famous, and then it's on to the next thing, right? I mean, just when you're kind of dusting off
yeah.
the memories, they're moving on to something.
Yeah,
else.
Can you Venmo me?
Yeah, exactly. They've got I think they think it's cool when they think about it. And now my son, he wants to be a football player, and you can't really tell me why, but so it's pretty neat. The highlight for me was watching the game with them last night and putting my boy on my lap and saying, this is historic, man.
Oh,
we just saw the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. So hopefully, they'll remember that, or maybe he'll remember that one day that, hey, I got to see the game that the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. But hopefully it's trumped by watching.
Do former players get tickets, Ryan? Do you mind if I ask? Like, because you played, do people?
It's a hot ticket, and that stadium's only gotten smaller, the way I understand it. They did a remodel. There's a lot more suites. To answer your question, maybe some do. It's a hot ticket. I certainly don't. I've got a lot of text messages and phone calls from some people asking if I had access. But if we go, I'm buying them just on the secondary market. So I'll pay it through the nose. But again, I look back at the Royals stuff. I'm up here in my workout room, and I've got a bunch of Royals stuff from 14, 15. And we think back and have such fond memories of this town. Going through that, and I think this is, this is the same thing. So we're thinking we're going to go down and be a part of it.
Well, Ryan, before we let you go, I'm going to call your bluff on you never wearing that ring, because I've seen Ace Ventura, the movie, and when he's looking for that damn dolphin, every player that he is stalking is wearing their ring, and they punch him in the forehead, and then he checks the ring marks on his forehead.
Oh, that's right, man. That's classic. Yeah. Well, listen, if it's in a movie, it's got to be true, right?
All right, brother. Hey, thanks for joining us. It was great to talk to you, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
You got it, Scotty. Be good.
All right, man. Be good. That is Ryan Lilger, former Kansas City Chief and Super Bowl winner with the Indianapolis Colts. He was the starting center for Peyton Manning in both of the two Super Bowls that they played in.
I love that you were able to get him to join us today.
He's a good cat. He's a really good cat. Over to Kansas Sampler after the show tonight.
You and 40,000 other friends.
Yeah, and then after we talk to your friend Amy, I'm not getting in line. I'll just wait a couple days.
Yeah.
I don't need that shirt tonight.
They're not going to run out this second. There
if you go,
will
can you
be
pick me up
reorders.
A hoodie?
By the way, Sam, you said, and we skipped over this earlier, you said you have some inside info on when
It's not exactly inside info.
Okay, but you know what happens to the shirts that you can't sell because Like, for example, yesterday, I guarantee you, in Nashville, Tennessee, there were, you know, Titans stores that had AFC Championship shirts in the back, ready to go as soon as they won that game, and then they didn't win the game.
So
what happens to the box of shirts?
I talked to someone from Rally House, and they had said that they usually get a box of the merchandise a day or two before the game. And the box explicitly says, do not open.
Until or unless.
And if they don't win, they then take that box and do an RTV, which is return to vendor. And so they send it back to whoever sent it to them. Yeah. And from there, a catalog is built of the unneeded goods, and it goes to a charitable organization in the story that I read called Good 360. Good 360 goes around the country, collects all this merch, decides where it's needed most in the world, and then ships it out.
So there's a bunch of kids in Africa and Southeast Asia walking around with
somewhere
AFC champion Titans shirts.
Hurricane relief, when there's a natural disaster.
According to the story I read, it's never the same. So they kind of look into current events that are happening and the situations in different countries and say, hey, this country needs it the most.
I remember for one of the KU games, I did a story on this as a reporter, and they let us shoot the box. We could not touch the box, and they were so weird about it. I mean, you would have thought the Holy Grail was in that box.
Really?
And I think it's because if you get caught trying to profit off of that, that it's such a huge federal licensing no-no.
So who eats the expense, the shop or the vendor?
The vendor.
The vendor, I would guess.
Yeah, so from what I understand, they get the goods on like a consignment situation, and so then the vendor gets X percentage of the profits that you make from it.
So I would imagine that the vendor, and this is just me spitballing here, I would imagine the vendor gets licensed through the NFL, okay, to be a licensed shirt, if you will, and then they end up printing X number of shirts for Tennessee, X number of shirts for Kansas City, and then, you know, maybe they go like the way Vegas does. You know, Kansas City has a 60% chance of winning. Nashville has a 40% chance. So we're going to do 60-40 on the printing or whatever. But then they would have to get a certain percentage of the sales. Otherwise, it's not worth their money.
But you have to remember, Scott, they are buying and or producing a T-shirt for $5 and they're selling it for $25.
Well, the store is selling it for $25.
They're not out, and the vendor is not out, the retail cost of that. In fact,
listen, I'm not crying for these cats.
Yeah, one of the sweatshirts my girlfriend sent me today from one of the stores, very nice dark gray sweatshirt with the Chiefs and, you know, the game on it, is $75 for a
I thought you said $75.
For a sweatshirt. A very nice soft sweatshirt, but it is
I thought you said $75.
$75
that you know costs him $10 to make.
If less than that.
$6, $7 maybe.
And in all reality, if you think about it, the one sweatshirt that they sell probably takes care of the cost to produce five of the losing team's sweatshirts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think
they're still making money.
Everybody's making money.
Except you.
You're paying it.
Yeah, you are. Out the kazoo, if you know what I mean. All right, we got to run. News is next. What a great day to be in Kansas City, man. What a great day. That was fun. Thanks to Ryan Lilja for joining us on the show. Always a good cat. Is this One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston?
Hell yeah, it is. So good, Sam. So good.
On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, Sam Stevie III, ladies and gentlemen, my good friend and co-host, Dana Wright. I am Scott Parks. And God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
This one's for you, Patrick.
Patrick! We mean this one. Have a great night. Be safe and be good.
I broke my heart for every game to taste the sweet. I face the pain. I rise and fall.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.